money at the public expense. And then, on the other hand, he's raked in, this August 22nd, he's going to be refereeing a World Wrestling Federation match, which the estimates are he will rake in over $1 million for. Dennis Rodman did the same sort of thing, got $2.5 million, and they said Ventura's got to be worth more to the sport than that, and he knows what he's worth, and he wouldn't take anything less. Only public portion has been a $100,000 contract, which he's donating to charity. The rest is his private business. And he complains about the loss of privacy while writing a book about his personal, intimate details of his life. The one problem I have, but I don't mind somebody being outrageous and so on. It's an act, and that's fine. The only part I have is that, well, he does have a very, I think he honestly has a soft, compassionate side to him. He also can be the schoolyard bully. And the number one bumper sticker in Minnesota, and I mean, I've seen more bumper stickers of this type. They're lime green bumper stickers, yeah, which was his color. More of them than I've seen of any candidate or all candidates combined. They're everywhere. Our governor can beat up, or my governor can beat up your governor. Oh, he loves this. He loves this. And it's a little hard to be doing the talking about nonviolence to kids at the same time you're talking about the way to solve it, and the solution is beat up somebody. And so on. For all this, I gotta say, I genuinely do like him, and I think most people do. The polls in Minnesota show he's 60-some percent positive approval rating, which is better than most governors. It's not as high as when he was first elected and then inaugurated, but again, he got 37% of the vote in a three-way race, so it's twice as many votes as he got. And right after the election, it seemed like everybody was saying, oh, I voted for Jesse, and they couldn't have all because he got a third of the votes. But he is likable. Policy-wise, I think some of the things he's done have been excellent. Some of them I'm disappointed in, which I guess is what you kind of expect, par for the course for any governor. I'd give him higher marks than his predecessor, who was very staid and definitely, how could you not be, more boring than Ventura. But nevertheless, I would give Ventura higher marks overall on public policy, the direction he's going. That's Ventura. Now, celebrity politics. First of all, I don't think this is anything uncommon. We got military heroes, we got actors, we got athletes, and so on. Take military heroes. I mean, was George Washington a politician? No, he didn't. He was a reluctant president. He was a military hero and popular person, a celebrity of sorts in those times. And so back to the beginning of our nation's history, people have used celebrity status to get into political office. George Washington may have been the last one who used it to get to political office who was truly reluctant to do so. And said, no, two terms is enough, and made sure that he was not treated like royalty. He put the country off to a pretty good start. But he was the first, perhaps, of our celebrity politicians. Recent years, actors, entertainers, Reagan, Sonny Bono, the guy from Iowa, Fred Grandy. Yeah, there are plenty of them. You can go into athletics, Jack Kemp, Bill Bradley. Astronauts, there aren't many astronauts, but I mean, disproportionate number, John Glenn, have already made it into politics, and I think that's expected. Dwight Eisenhower, military hero, again, somewhat reluctant. Maybe the military heroes are somewhat reluctant. Colin Powell keeps toying with it. So this isn't a new phenomenon of electing celebrities to public office. Though I think the media and TV and mass communication has changed the impact of it. When 200 years ago, the governor of one state becomes a celebrity or is a celebrity, people in other states don't know because news doesn't travel that far. Now the whole globe through CNN and everything knows this, and it is amazing. I've talked to people in Europe and yeah, they had heard we had this interesting wrestler governor. And so the media has made the celebrity status of politicians much more so. Why does it happen? Well, several things. I mean, name ID gives them an instant advantage. Jesse Ventura talks rightly. He didn't take big money in his campaign. and he didn't. He spent a fraction of what the two other candidates spent. You don't need as much because, first of all, your name is somewhat known, and you got a soapbox. You got a soapbox right away, and you have no disadvantage of being the career politician. And again, our other two candidates, one was the mayor of St. Paul, the Republican candidate, and the Democratic candidate was Hubert Humphrey III, the son of the former vice president. Big names, well-known people. Well, Ventura is a third-party candidate without a lot of money, had no chance except for the celebrity status. And again, he could do it saying, as he has frequently done, he's a former mayor too, I'm not a politician. And so, it'd be the same thing with Ronald Reagan. Yeah, I'm not a politician either, even after he was governor. I'm an ordinary citizen. And so they do have the name ID advantage without the downside of you're a politician. And we love celebrities. It's sort of a royalty thing. With JFK's recent, Junior's death recently, you look at how the papers cover that. I mean, there are lots of small planes that go down and lots of people, good people, even famous people who go down. The Kennedy clan is sort of our national royalty, you might argue. It's a whole clan of people, and whatever people feel about their politics or them as individuals, the nation very much identifies with them the way other countries might with royalty. And there's something in us as human beings that seems to like being around celebrities, around royalty, and there's this kind of a hero worship that adds to that. And I would say all these celebrities have that going into it. Ventura is a little bit different than the other celebrities because much of his celebrity status is not because he's a 50-year-old, not perfect shape former wrestler. I wouldn't want to be in a wrestling match with him. I mean, he's in a lot better shape than any of us would be, but still he's not where he was 15 years ago and bad back and other things have taken him out of it. But his celebrity status is partly because the voters of Minnesota bestowed an office on him. He's former wrestler turned politician. Bill Bradley, John Glenn, others have built a political career. Ronald Reagan, more than anyone, had built a political career after celebrity status, but it was not because their celebrity did not consist mainly of their political office. It was something prior to that, and then they became the politician. Jesse Ventura is the combination. I mean, I couldn't name, I mean, Hulk Hogan and how many professional wrestlers can most of you name? Not many. Jesse Ventura would not have been foremost on most people's minds 2 years ago either. He's a has-been wrestler, but the former wrestler who, we got a picture here in the paper recently, former wrestler wearing pink feather boas and outrageous sunglasses and rhinestones and everything all over the place, it's that turn governor that makes him a little different than the typical celebrity. The celebrity advantage is similar to those of people with large amounts of money. Look at the U.S. Senate in recent years. We had an heir to the Heinz ketchup fortune. We have a Rockefeller in the U.S. Senate. Now, lots of Rockefellers have been in public office. Minnesota, Dayton, from Dayton Hudson Company, Herb Kohl in Wisconsin. Al Checky, another Minnesota tie. He was a Californian, actually, but he took over in a hostile takeover, Northwest Airlines, a number of years ago, put in $40 million, not largely his and his partner's money, but borrowed money, and they cashed out several years later for $750 million. Some would argue he didn't add a lot to the company, but in any case, very well off, and he admitted he was going to buy the California gubernatorial office. He didn't make it. He lost in the primary. But he was, I think he spent $30 million in doing so. And if you're from California, you know who the guy is because he told you day after day after day and he blew it in the campaign, but he wouldn't have had that kind of form without the money. Well, celebrities, wealthy can buy name recognition. Celebrities, they can buy attention, they can build themselves an image by running TV commercial after TV commercial telling you who they are. Celebrities may not be able financially and many of them may not be willing to spend, if they have it, the money to build this image, but, you know, they have the attention they need to get the image, and they can free name ID. And Jesse Ventura, he has a news conference on some topic, and reporters are going to be there just because he's a celebrity. And the reason celebrities have succeeded, this sort of reason they've succeeded in office, in politics, is generally, I would argue, a move away from positive, thorough, thoughtful discourse on public policy issues. It tends to be the clever soundbite, the clever image over the substance, the glamour, instead of the boring details of public policy. And I gotta say that that's not because of celebrities that we've had that trend. That's happening anyway. I remember my first race for state senate 14 years ago. I put out about 25 pages of tiny type little issue papers. My opponent told us that his wife had endorsed him with glamorous photos of his wife saying how wonderful her husband was, and that he was a former Boy Scout and Eagle Scout and a few other things, but never anywhere in any of his literature and anywhere in the campaign did it say what he stood for. He had some very unflattering pictures of me in his literature with compare and contrast positions on a whole variety of things, but it didn't say what he stood for. And that tends to be the way the political system is going. There's a lot more fluff and a lot less substance, not to say that it's ever been perfect. There's been a lot of non-policy issue things that have gone on throughout politics and human history, and the Lincoln-Douglas debates kind of thing have also always been part of history. It's unfortunately becoming less and less important in the political debate. So it's not celebrity success that's driving that, but they take advantage of the sound bites over substance. And celebrity involvement in politics isn't inherently bad. As I said, despite Ventura's tough-talking image, he's a relatively bright guy, and he has some decent ideas. Celebrities are, by nature of their success, or their success is often because they've been very successful in what they do. Bill Bradley is not just a former NBA Hall of Famer, he's a Rhodes Scholar. There aren't many of those. There are 30-some a year. Bright people. They're very talented people. And we want diversity. You don't want a whole bunch of lawyers making all the laws. Nothing against lawyers, but we got more disproportionate number in government. So getting a few actors and athletes and other things in the political process is a healthy thing. It doesn't add much diversity economically because celebrities tend to be very well off. But they are not a negative overall in the political process. They have a great talent for getting attention. So those who come into office because they care deeply about an issue or another. John McCain, the former prisoner of war, and Bill Bradley, former basketball star, both running for president, not very successfully perhaps, but both running for president on issue of campaign finance reform and the corruption of money in politics. And I think they're both very sincere about it, and frankly, that's a plus. If they can draw attention because of their celebrity status, in their cases it's more now because of their political status, but if a celebrity can bring attention to an issue, it's a positive one that society's not paying enough attention to, more power to it. But again, celebrities in their knack for getting attention do it in different ways. And back to Ventura here a little bit, he carries the celebrity bit a little bit further, and his part of celebrity would be outrageousness. Again, he does love us. He doesn't have any objection whatsoever. The shaved head, I mean, it's a unique approach. I mean, most politicians I know have been trying to put stuff on top of their head all the time. I had a couple of members and colleagues of mine who have had hair transplants, plus plenty of hair pieces and so on. And here Jesse shaves it all off, and he's willing to be different. And, you know, I think that's one of the things people like about it. But the outrageous part of it, Ain't Got Time to Bleed, the name of his autobiography, he's trying to be outrageous. And when people say, you know, this is irresponsible. He's trying to teach kids, he says he's trying to teach kids to be responsible, and he's done some wonderful things that way, and then he undercuts it all with a book like that. As soon as people started criticizing the poor role model, he says, one, rightly, he wasn't planning to be governor when he was a kid. I don't think he was planning to win last year. I really don't think he was planning. I think he was as shocked as anybody was. He shouldn't have been, we shouldn't hold him to standard that when he was a kid, we should have expected him to be a role model because of now. But his attacks, he's gone to high school gymnasiums shortly after the book came out in May, and he speak behind to a whole auditorium full of students and tell them, you know, there are a lot of people out there who say I shouldn't have written this book, and they're objecting because I'm being honest. So I want to keep being honest. Should you want me to keep telling the truth or not? Yeah, go Jesse, you did the right thing. Well, I haven't heard anybody say he shouldn't be honest about it. I don't have any problem with him going out there and saying, you know, I did some of these things when I was a kid, and they're wrong, and I feel bad about it, and I'm ashamed about it. And you could write a book about that, but it wouldn't be a bestseller. Bragging about how you're the first guy to come out of a whorehouse in Las Vegas with more money than you went in is something else. I mean, he's saying the wrong message. And we have, oh, and
yes, he did.
And how much of this?
$10.
He said he traded his belt buckle and so on, and he came out with more money than he went in. And not wearing underwear, I don't really care if he wears underwear or not. You know, it's, he knows how to get attention, and it is by being outrageous. And the question is, in being outrageous, and I think this is one that I don't know the answer to, but does he have to keep upping the ante and being more outrageous? And if so, which way do you get there? I'm not sure you can keep this up. You refereeing in a wrestling match. There was one guy, I thought it was interesting, an article recently when they talked about last month, they talked about this month's wrestling thing. The person who was quoted in this article on it, a Greensboro, North Carolina second grade teacher, which I can understand a teacher coming up with this perspective, who writes a wrestling column for Pro Wrestling Torch, a Twin Cities-based newsletter, said he questions whether Ventura should lend the prestige of his office as governor to professional wrestling at a time when the sport, which is heavily marketed to children, is becoming increasingly raunchy. They market violence, they use a lot of swearing, they have a lot of sexual content in their shows, Mitchell said, of the World Wrestling Federation, and Jesse, by participating in it, is endorsing it. And again, this guy, who's a second grade teacher, is saying he likes wrestling, apparently he likes it enough to write a column for a wrestling magazine. And I think that is the kind of question. He does talk about, the charities will benefit greatly from my involvement in this. And in 6 months in office, 8 months in office, he's already raked in, estimates are well over $1 million, marketing himself. So I think that we have to be cautious about what we're doing with public office in that case. And so far, Jesse has pulled it off very well. He's got great political skills. He's best politician in the sense of the word, perhaps the worst sense of the word, of able to sell yourself. Again, when this other guy flatteringly says, you know, he's sold himself. He sold himself, it's the essence of America. He was his own product. Well, yes, that's true, and I think he knows it, we all know it. And when he uses the line, I'm not a politician, well, he is a politician, and he ran for office, he won office, and he's not a traditional politician, but he's gotten people to excuse things that many others would say are outrageous, and that if other politicians would do, he, among others, would be yelling at it. And one more thing on this thing about how he, on this getting away with things, he does not use special interest money. I mean, he's not raking in money at special interest, from special interest groups in order to do this. When he's doing this refereeing the World Wrestling Federation thing, that's not some special interest group trying to buy access with Minnesota's governor by paying him money to do something. He's getting, because that's his market value as a professional wrestler turned governor. He is honestly making that money. They're not doing it as a favor to him. They're doing it as a favor to themselves, and he just gets the money off of it. But the trouble is, if that's acceptable, if it's acceptable to make that kind of money in public office, again, because the people of Minnesota bestowed on him this title and the position of governor, if it's okay for him to make money off that. What about George Bush and Al Gore? You know, there are plenty of people who will pay them big bucks and for their skills, their writing skills, book deals. There are lots of people willing to pay big sums of money to two former speakers of the House, one of each party, had raked in big honoraria for book deals, and one of them got driven out of office that way. The other one was certainly tarred by it. What's to stop interest groups from buying access to people? And Jesse's line is with this wrestling thing, hey, it's only a Sunday evening and I'm not doing gubernatorial work on Sunday evening, that's my own time. Well, it is his own time, but he's using his position there, and at the same week, matter of fact, one of these articles that I brought in here, this one where it talks about Ventura jumping back into the ring this week, right next to it, in local, St. Paul Mayor Norm Coleman will host his own weekly radio show on KSTP AM beginning this Saturday. And his line, it's only Saturday, and I'm not doing city business on Saturday, it's my own business, and he's not getting paid that much money. And you know, 20 years ago, the fairness doctrine required that if you gave a politician 2 hours of talk show time from one position, you'd have to give their opponent 2 hours of talk show time. The fairness doctrine has gone out the window, but on top of that, the owner of this radio station who happens to support the St. Paul mayor's positions on things, talk about a way to curry favor with the politician. You give them free access to the media, and on top of that, you write out a check to them for doing it. And there are plenty of interest groups who do it. Again, as I said, I don't think Ventura is doing it, but unwittingly, he's opening the door to any other politician wanting to rake in money the same way. And I think Ventura would be really troubled by that. I don't think he's spending his time thinking about what it means for others. And could Ventura become president? He's talked about it. He's said he's new, certainly not in the year 2000. I wouldn't count him out. I think he really conceivably could become president. You know, I remember a couple of decades ago, a former movie actor who said trees were one of the worst sources of pollution. Got elected president by a landslide. And people, well, you know, that's just, he's a little bit off base on that, but, you know, with good political skills, which actors are good at, he could win. I think the thing is, it'd be tough in the timing. I don't think 6 years from now, I frankly think his popularity will fade long before then. I think if he did it, he'd have to do it in the year 2000, but I wouldn't count him out. I think I almost would view Ventura as sort of the Howard Stern of politics. Arrogant, self-promoter, raunchy at times, shameless, almost shameless with Ventura. He was going to appear on Howard Stern's radio show, and then he toyed with the idea of that, and they announced, no, he was not going to do so, which I give him credit for doing, and he decided that was dipping too low. And Howard Stern has become an extremely wealthy person by using our public airwaves to sell the raunchiest stuff you can possibly sell. And Minnesota, good news, the one radio station in the Twin Cities that carried him dropped him. His ratings weren't high enough to justify the cost of doing so. I think Howard Stern will dry up in a year or two. I think people will be sick of that stuff. A certain percentage of the population may always love it, but a lot of others will get tired of him. New things will come along and he'll fade away. I think Ventura could have the same sort of thing. And unlike Stern, I don't think as a public official, he can keep upping the ante without people just saying you've crossed the line.
When's that going to happen to Rush Limbaugh?
Again, as I said, I think Rush Limbaugh had, he was much more prime time earlier. It's Twin Cities, I think it's late night TV. He's still afternoon radio. I think that some of these things do fade in time. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not going to predict Ventura is going to fade. I said he could win president, which is the highest office in the land, in the world, perhaps. I think he could do it. I don't want to predict this is going to happen. I do think that these things tend to run their cycle, their course of action. Political movements rise and fall. Public taste changes over time. And I think there's, I don't know if it's a pendulum, people always say, of public opinion. But I think Rush Limbaugh, 30 years from now, would still have an audience if he was saying same sort of things. Howard Stern will always have an audience. But they're not the most popular, the big money gainer at a certain point, and they do fade from existence after some period of time. How long, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of timing in Ventura's case. And to a certain extent, Ventura is one of a kind. I mean, there have been, as I mentioned earlier, all these other celebrities. And I'm, as I've said, well, I think I've said some things critical of Ventura. I also think I'd give him public policy-wise at least a little higher ratings than his predecessor. And I think if he's able to keep his popularity up and if he's able to run for president, if he wants to, which I'm not sure he does, he's certainly going to inspire copycats. Jerry Springer is already running for U.S. Senate in Ohio. The Ohio Democratic Party is very alarmed at the prospect, but they don't have anybody else running. And, you know, if Ventura's mode of celebrity politics, the outrageous, catches on, yeah, Madonna could become president. I don't know that Madonna has talked about politics, but I think there are lots of celebrities who have sold this Ventura type of thing who might decide if he could do it, they're going to try it too. And frankly, he's very talented, and I'm not sure a lot of his fellow celebrities could pull it off the way he has. And it's possible. But I'd like to leave with a couple of thoughts and then open it up for discussion. First of all, I think the political system in our country needs a shaking up. Celebrities who are willing to rock the boat can do so, whether for good or for bad. It depends on the celebrity, it depends on how they want to rock the boat, why they want to rock the boat. Second point, I think our political system desperately needs respect. Some celebrities like Ventura, I would argue, may do great harm to that. Mm-hmm. Colin Powell, I don't know his politics. It's kind of like Dwight Eisenhower 40 years ago. What were his politics? Which party was he going to join? I mean, it's almost a mirror image in terms of that. Only Eisenhower did choose to run, and Powell, as of yet, has not chosen to. But I think some celebrities can really raise the public confidence, the public respect for government, which I think is much needed. And Ventura, in some ways, could, and still, I would say, 6 months into office, 8 months into office, don't say it's over. He's just beginning, and I think there's a lot of potential. He's grown a lot in understanding of public policy and how much things he says that one might call putting foot in mouth, how they can backfire, maybe not for him personally, but can hurt the political system. And I do think he is somebody who does care. But the political system needs respect, and you got to watch it, and trying to be outrageous does not help. I think a Jerry Springer in the U.S. Senate would not be a plus either. Finally, the third point is the influence of big money has corroded our political system. I'm going to be talking about that in a few days. Ventura and other celebrities, by their ability to win office without dumping in a ton of money, because they're already known. Who is it? The Munster, Herman Munster is running for some congressional seat in New York. They've got a certain amount going for them just because they're known. And those, because they've gotten there without the big money, I think they have a genuine opportunity to reform politics. In Ventura's case, I think his personal grab for money in office is going to undercut all he's trying to do that way. But again, I've been working with his predecessor in the party, the guy who had run for U.S. Senate the last two times, much more boring individual than Jesse Ventura, but he's sort of the one who made the Reform Party reach major party status in Minnesota. And he is, his biggest single issue, I think, is campaign finance reform, government reform. I've been working with him on a number of things, and he's now in a public position. He's one of Ventura's commissioners, and I think Ventura still can move ahead on this area. I think other celebrities will have a better chance yet than doing it. Those who come in and saying, I'm really upset about what's going on with the money in politics, I want to change that, and by the nature of who they are, they can get elected and can start working to change the system. That's more than I wanted to spend time on doing. I hope there are lots of discussion. He's a colorful guy, and I think the attendance reflects some of that.
I just noticed a couple different times, maybe on Letterman, or I think once I caught him on, he was doing a radio talk show, but I think he was on the Book Club channel or something, and I just thought, oh, that looks interesting. It seems he has a pat answer when he's called on this fact of, you know, being a role model or the things in his book or whatever, and his pat answer is, well, parenting. You know, it's up to the parents to, you know, help the kids filter out all the stuff in society, and if you don't want your kid watching wrestling, But, you know, and fine, you know, parenting, yeah, but to help parents, you know, by making more of an effort to be a role model of morality and humility, like you said, I think that's a good point, that just the recognizing the process of maturing. I don't know that he's, what is he doing to help parents?
Okay. Well, I was going to say, here you might move to the public policy thing, because I think a lot of the rhetoric is, not all, but a lot of the rhetoric has been extremely harmful to helping kids. Public policy-wise, every time we wanted to deal with the governor as legislators, he said, you don't understand, in my administration, the commissioners are going to be calling the shots. And he put some very good people, his human services commissioner, his former, I found out later after he was appointed, nuclear physicist, as well as head of the McKnight Foundation, one of the largest foundations in Minnesota, and very concerned about children's issues and how to help children, very thoughtful person. And he's turning over a lot of decision-making to those folks. His commissioner of education ran a school, basically started a school for homeless kids. Very good people. I said he picked some excellent commissioners. And so policy-wise, despite the rhetoric about how he wants to, rhetoric about cutting government, he's been very good, or at least better than his predecessor in terms of support for education and support for early childhood education and the benefits of that, and recognizing that, you know, in Minnesota, one of the best programs I think we have is an early childhood family education thing where you got preschool kids coming in. It's not an income-based thing. We participate when our kids were little. The parents go 1-2 hours a week. They meet with other parents, discuss parenting issues and ideas, and the kids play together. Then you have some interaction between parents and kids in the setting. Very helpful type of thing, very popular, relatively inexpensive for what it does. And Ventura has been very supportive of things like that. So policy-wise, he's been good. The rhetoric, as we've been talking about, I think has hurt. And then even then, though, some of his rhetoric has been incredibly good. I think when he went to his high school in South Minneapolis and spoke to the kids after the election before he was inaugurated and told them, you know, as you kids are getting ready for school, don't just count on government to take responsibility, do some, I was going to say preaching responsibility to young people is very positive. And because kids pay attention to a former wrestler, he's got a good soapbox with him, and he's said some wonderful things to him. It is Dr. Jekyll and Governor Hyde. I mean, he is switching back and forth, and so some of his rhetoric's been very positive, and his policies, I wouldn't say, are as supportive as I'd like to see for children's concerns. And yes, it is right. Parents should be the primary caregivers and the primary whatever, but you and I and everybody knows that not all parents, for one reason or another, do it that way, and even so, I don't think the best of parents can't use some help from the community.
Maybe your comment a little bit on the electorate, the people that...
Who voted for him and why?
And yeah, you consider Minnesota to be a fairly enlightened place. You've already commented on it to some degree, the need for change, but what's happening, or what about us that we would...
I would never read too much into an election like that. First of all, the talk about how the Reform Party has got its ticket to success nationally or in Minnesota. There have been a couple of special elections where the Reform Party, since January, where they had a candidate and they ran aggressively, it was a talk, the three-way race, and in each case, the Reform Party was a poor third place showing. I don't think it's going to translate to other Reform Party candidates, though some of the Reform Party candidates are very good. I think that, again, 37% of the public voted for him. A lot of people, I saw the day after the election, a lot of analysis in Minnesota, who voted for him and why? And once somebody wins, you know, everybody wants to be on the side of a winner, so, oh, you betcha, Jesse's our kind of guy. Did you vote for him? Oh, you betcha I didn't. Two-thirds of the people didn't vote for him. He couldn't have had everybody voting for him. And some people, of course, shaking their heads, how could we do this? How could this happen? But basically, you can't accuse him of being boring. His two opponents you could accuse of being boring. He would have been my second choice among the three, not my third choice among the three, despite the downsides of some of this. I think you look at the electorate, the people who vote most often, percentage of population is the elderly. The younger you go, the less people vote. The young 20-something activists everybody talks about all the time, they've got by far the lowest percentage of voters. And he got a lot of them out. Our turnout in Minnesota is much higher than expected. And again, to get 37% of the votes, he did very well among young people. My wife works in a school, and the students she works with, hey, yeah, Jesse. I mean, you could tell what kids were attracted to. This was not a politician that they don't know what politicians do. They know Jesse's a different guy. And I think people wanted to send the message and shake up the system, and a lot of what he said, I understand why it resonated. In many ways, I'd say what he was saying a year ago should resonate better than what he's saying now, but again, he wasn't given the chance, and one of his opponents kept calling a vote for Ventura was a wasted vote because it would take away a vote from him, he thought. He took second, after all, but they thought how this would be a wasted vote, and Ventura kept ridiculing that, and so I wouldn't read into it a lot that the electorate has changed significantly. The electorate's not that well informed. I wish more attention be paid, but you know, you got to say there's something right to get more people out to vote. I just worry he's going to burn them all out by saying, he's just one of them, and add to the cynicism, which is so rampant. Yes, Mike.
How much did his ads pay?
They added a lot. I don't know how much the rest of the country saw of what his ads were like. These little G.I. Joe-style action figures of him, he had one very cute ad of these two kids. One is the Ventura in a suit and tie, and two little kids are playing with him, and one of them, I'm Jesse Ventura, and oh, cut wasteful spending, and he's doing this, and oh no, Mr. Special Interest Man, and he's, I'm not going to listen to you, or it was cute stuff. It was really cute, and political ads, in 30 seconds, if you're expecting to get a lot of substance out of them, you're not going to. And he made a few points out of them. He had one Rodin's thinker kind of pose. We found out after the election was a body double for him. The excuse was not that he was out of shape, though he admitted he was a little bit out of shape. But they used a body double except for the face, and is posing in gym shorts. And Jesse the Mind, because his trademark was Jesse the Body. And he's sitting there thinking, and he's going to be this, and it tells on the screen all he cares about education and cares about people and cares about crime. And yeah, they were very creative ads. And I'd say if I had to the one thing that put him over the top was the creative ads.
Yeah, because that's, I think, the last 2 weeks from a neighboring state, that's what really started getting the interest were those ads. And I guess my question is, how much are elections influenced by ads media?
Heavily. Two-thirds of all people say they get most of their information about voting from television. Two-thirds of all people. That includes us. We're all heavily influenced by it. I ran for governor 4 years ago, 4 years earlier, and we had some cruddy TV ads, and partly because the people I had doing them were kept trying to do things that were negative stuff, and I frankly have no problem with humorous ads. I think they're wonderful. But poke fun at yourself. Don't try poking fun at others. So I kept canning all their ideas for it, and they came up with mush. Ads do have a big impact, and humor can be used in very powerful, great ways. I think one of the things we have to do, one of the reasons for the money in politics debate, has to be how are we going to change that, because we are willingly or unwittingly we're influenced by television ads. And Ventura was able to take a relatively small amount of money and very creative ads plus a colorful personality to parlay it into. I got 36% of the vote 4 years earlier, and that was a landslide against me. He got 37% of the vote with his governor. So it's not, I wouldn't count on it as an electoral strategy to win with 37% of the vote. But the ads, his people did a masterful job with the ads. And I loved them. I thought they were great ads. Aside from the merits of the candidates, it was good stuff.
One of the things that I think we struggle with culturally are the silver bullets of politics, which is simple solutions to very complex and long-term issues. How much has the celebrity concept, particularly, Jesse, in your opinion, has it fed that kind of concept?
I think it has hurt that way, because when I talked about how the nature of celebrities and running for office has tended to bring it from substance to soundbite, he's very much done that. His most recent career, last year he was a radio talk show host. And Jonathan Frericks the other day here on his talk on Rwanda, I don't know if any of you heard it, talking about genocide and one of the most horrendous things one of the most horrendous things that could have happened in a society. He talked about, as he was painting his house recently, listening to talk radio, and he talked about it being like pouring acid on our fairly decent society. Jesse Ventura was a talk show host and very good with the snappy lines. He's the barstool philosopher who can come up with a quick pat answer to everything, and some of them are right on and some of them are way off, and frankly most things aren't as simple whether he's saying the right general thing or not. Public policy isn't always that simple, and I think that's the good thing he's done, is appoint good people around him for the most part to carry out that policy. Not that he can't do it, not that he's not bright enough, because he is, but he still loves spouting off the simplistic solutions. And you can tell what he cares about. These wave runner jet ski types of things. Oh, he's angry they have to pay $50 registration fee. Why do we have such a high fee for them in Minnesota for more enforcement? Because they're so noisy and dangerous and everything else. Why is he offended? He's got five of them. This is the average Joe. The average Joe voting for Jesse because he's one of us. He's got five of them. He's only four members in his family. License tabs, he has some very expensive cars. Our license tabs, it's a poor system we have, but it's at least in theory based on the value of the car. And so Ventura's paid a lot in that. So license fee tabs are one of his big issues in terms of tax unfairness. Even though it's a relatively small portion of the tax system, he's legitimately interested in the issue, but everything that he personally is interested in becomes high on the agenda. It's pat answers, and again, he's better than just pat answers, but he has pat answers to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think there's something else that's attractive in it besides a real pat answer, and I agree that's a problem, but another thing is you feel like you hear somebody like Jesse Ventura talk, or other people that I know of in Oregon, where I'm from, and they give a sense that you're going to know what they really think. I think a lot of times politicians who are wanting to appeal to a broad variety of voters, they try to appeal to a whole bunch of different sides and come out sounding like,
Bush.
You don't know what they think. They're for jobs and education. Yeah. Well, who isn't? You know, what does that really mean? And you get tired of this blanket. It all sounds good, but there's got to be a difference, obviously.
Jesse was not afraid to offend, right.
It's very appealing to feel like we know where he stands. I might not like it, but he said this or this.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of
it. That is very much part of his appeal and a very good point. He really did not have, in prostitution. I mean, he waffled too. I mean, he waffled as much as anyone, but he was good at not sounding like he was waffling. And on some issues, he didn't. I mean, I was going to say in terms of once there was a prostitution. He said we ought to look at studying legalized prostitution, and you can make some arguments for that. That you know, you keep it contained to a certain community. It's you might cut the pimps out of the system, so it's less abusive. You might protect against disease. The Netherlands does it. Jesse said we ought to talk about it. Is that a bad thing to talk about? This is 3 weeks before the election, all the newspapers and media started saying, well, if he had any chance of doing anything, he sure shot himself in the foot on that one. And the next day, Jesse said, wait, the media blew it. They just took it wrong. And in this case, I think he was right. The media did take it wrong. He did not call for legalized prostitution. And boy, he backtracked fast on it, though, saying, no, all I'm saying, I don't support it. I would oppose it, but I think we ought to talk about it and other ways to deal with it. And to the point, yes, he did waffle some on it. He also was willing to step out there. And you know it's going to offend some people. And boy, I wish we had more politicians who were willing to say, you take the death penalty. It's an unpopular issue. If you disagree with the death penalty, you ought to be willing to say so. And why? That's the way the system works. Why are we all trying to... Centrism is a big movement in politics. Ventura calls himself a centrist. We want to be in the center between the extremists out there. Well, you know, I think there's some merit to having different positions and people arguing forcefully and then choosing what we want. But you're right. One of his appeals was he's willing to do it. I have time for a couple quick questions. In
Bloomsbury comics regarding Ventura, wasn't there some controversy there?
Yes. I mentioned it briefly earlier. Doonesbury started going after him, and Ventura said, I'm going to sue you. I might sue you guys because you're using my trademark name without it. And his attorneys told him, you don't have a case. And he started the next day. His line was, he was just joking, and didn't you know that?
Well, except that I understood that he made a suggestion he's going to come and whip the whole lot of them, and they backed off from it. Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the details of what happened in the Doonesbury thing, but he's going to have a lot more clever, cartoonists love it. The reporters, despite what he says about him, it's a love-hate relationship there because he gives them plenty of stories to write about. They're never lacking. So, a couple more there.
Being from Minnesota, it's kind of fun to have a government that's known all through the world, but yet it still sort of makes you a little nervous. And I think one of the things I feel is he really is out to make money on this newfound fame, and it makes me a little nervous. And especially, how do you feel about the issue of our paying for his security while he's out on the road on a personal book tour? You know, and it's costing big bucks for Minnesota to defend him.
Okay, and real briefly, a big scandal lately has been the fact that his big national book tour and everything else, he's had state security officers and state staff people traveling with him at numerous thousands of dollars. It's a tiny fraction of the state budget, but nevertheless, should the state pay for this when he's doing a profit-making enterprise? His public safety commissioner said, look, he's governor, he's going to be a risk. It's not his fault that he's a risk. And we've got to protect our governor. And I strongly agree with that. Even if he's on vacation, even if he's anywhere else, we got to protect him. But we've never had a governor out for, he's not, he's not a governor on vacation there. He's somebody who's doing something governors have not, and I would argue should not do, in sort of the way, so yes, I don't think we as taxpayers should pay for that. I think that's just kind of a side issue at trying to get at, do we really want our governor to be raking in money? Who is he serving?
Yeah.
Is he serving his own selfish interest on money, or is he serving the public? And again, talking about politicians raking in big money from office, many politicians have done that. Usually they waited till after they leave office, and he's brought it to new heights. One last question, I'll stay around for more, but then...
If you were his campaign manager, what would you articulate to be his positive core political values that seems to be appealing to a large portion of the citizenry of Minnesota? Yeah.
And
getting
the
past the outrageous stuff, getting past all the... There must be some core political... If you were his campaign manager...
The positive things I would focus on is, one, the taking money out of politics. How sincere he is about it. I think he is sincere despite doing some counterproductive things towards it. The fact that... You know, I think government really, special interests do drive our political process, what our concerns are in the process. You can talk about health care, affordable health care for all people in this country, because it's the working poor and retirees who can't afford it. You can talk about that issue, and 80% of the public agrees with you. Why don't candidates for president or other office talk about that? There ain't no benefit to it. You can't get your word out. Bob Dole, who I did not support for president last time, I didn't like any of the candidates for president last time, but Bob Dole spoke out against the giveaway of the broadcast spectrum. The digital spectrum could be worth $70 billion, and we gave it away in 95, 96, and when he was leaving the U.S. Senate the last few months, he spoke out against it a number of times. I got a thing about how when he was running for president in Iowa, you know, one of the heads of the broadcasting, many stations in Kansas and in Iowa, wrote him a letter saying, if you don't publicly back off of this and back off of it soon, we will go after you. You know, that's really outrageous. The guy's threatening him because if you take this stand, it's going to cost us big profits. We're going to go after you. And so I was going to say that's when a Ventura, in my mind, it is the thing that's corrupting our political process. Ventura is very good on it. Your point about how people sense he's telling them a straight line. And he's not afraid to upset some people in doing so. I think those are the characteristics that are most useful and very valuable. And the reasons I think Ventura, he's willing to go outside of the box. It's obvious. I think that can be a really big plus, and so I've been saying from the start, Ventura has great potential. I have great hopes that he will. I'm very disappointed in parts of it, but yeah, if you cut all the rhetoric, all the outrageousness, those are the things I would focus on, and I would hope he will yet, because he's got 3.5 more years of office and maybe a long future ahead of him. It doesn't seem to be the route he's headed right now, but these good things there. With that, we've got to quit because it's been over an hour, but I'm happy to stay around and talk and answer more questions. Even if you want to stay here semi-informally, they can shut off the tape. Thank you.